Welcome back to Heart and Soul. This is Dr. Bill Little, and I'm here with Dr. Gary Richmond. And our topic seems to be today, the nature of knowing.
Yes, and actually you and I surrendered to today's topic because we weren't really sure what we were going to talk about. And the universe sent us Don, and he gave us some great focus in terms of...
right into it.
Yeah, I really liked the way he was really saying, okay, you say your heart and soul, what does that mean? And he put it right on the table.
Right.
And pushed us to think about it, and I like that.
Indeed. And we do have a caller, and we're listening. Please go ahead. Hello.
Both of you were talking about an inner voice.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so if a person has an inner voice that kind of mocks the person constantly, what is that? I mean, how can you tell an inner voice that is, yeah, I would say mocking around?
Yeah, that really falls into an area that I'm very familiar with. What I call that and what psychology calls that is an introject. In other words, you are doing to yourself what your primary caregivers did to you. My guess is you are not unfamiliar with people mocking you or family being very sarcastic or putting you down or confronting you in very negative ways. And then what happens is that's not really the inner voice of the soul. What that is the wounded voice of the little child who got input while you were growing up of a lot of sarcasm and negativity that you are now putting on yourself. And that's exactly what transpersonal psychology and Bill's counseling metaphysically move people out of. We move people away from that voice that we learned and are very familiar with in terms of being brought up and have it heal and realize that you are much more and much fuller and much more empowered than that voice allows you. Because what that voice does is cause sabotage, cause a very narrowed life, and causes you probably not to risk take and move in ways you'd like to. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's something that actually, that's what counseling is exactly about. Because we can't always move out of the way of that voice just because we want to. We know it's negative, you can hear it's negative, you don't like what it's saying, but getting it out of that inner place is a real tough one, and that's where counseling can be very helpful. That's exactly what I do.
How does one listen to the soul? Because I understand the soul is from the heart, and I don't, the soul wouldn't tell... I mean, whatever comes from the soul would be correct or not?
Well, I believe the soul speaks in a more still, quiet voice. It's not a compelling voice. It's not a voice that forces you to behave in a certain way or to think or feel a certain way. The voice of the soul has been called the still, small voice, and it's gentle, and it's suggestive. And, you know, I tend to agree with Gary here, and that is that it's an acquired taste, so to speak. In other words, it doesn't come easily. It's something that you actually have to practice listening to. I would say that the listening process has to become more and more refined so that you stop listening so much to the loud, very compelling voices of our ego structure and begin listening to something in between that, something in between the thoughts, in between the words, even in between the heartbeats. And that still small voice is really there, but it takes some practice.
It's very difficult because I know how loud that negative ego voice can be.
It's really disrupting.
You bet. You bet. And it's disconcerting because you want to move beyond it and have a better life than you're allowing yourself to have. And that's what I call the learned personality. That's what needs to be healed so that those wounds and those insecurities can be gotten out of your way so that you can do as Bill said, find that gentle place inside that is in your better interest and moves you in a more positive way. And one of the ways you might be able to just touch it, though, as I said, counseling is really where my own bias is in terms of how to deal with it, is if you have a child or a grandchild or a pet, when you sit with that being, you are in your heart. And from that loving place, you can get it. And that's why we call the soul, the show here Heart and Soul, because you have to live in the heart first to be able to hear, as Bill said, the whisper of the soul.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, take care.
You know, Gary, I think another thing that can be very, very useful to people when they're starting this journey, so to speak, is to spend some time in nature. Because I as you say, being with a child, being with perhaps a pet, it puts you in the heart. And I found that nature does that too.
It does for me.
It seems as though there's a kind of universal environment that comes from nature, and it's not just a physical environment, it actually is a heart environment. You know, I've had the experience of being, let's say, in the Great Redwoods just south of here,
mm-hmm.
or by the ocean, and having the feeling that the vertical energy of these marvelous plants was actually causing a vertical energy in my nervous system. It was upwashing, so to speak, getting rid of all the cobwebs of my daily life and thoughts, and actually creating a sense of clarity within me so that I could enter my heart without any of the confusing voices and so forth.
Yeah. As I said, as a transpersonal psychologist, my bias is that the deep down work of how loud this moon was saying that voice is has to be attended to first by therapy. But along with that, I absolutely agree with what you're saying, because there are many people that, you know, I'll say to them, you know, go down to Big Sur and hug a tree.
Yeah.
Put your arms around nature. And that's where I guess I would say to Don, that's where you've got to get out of the logic. Because when you're in the middle of Big Sur, it's not about logic and intellect.
Mm-hmm.
It's about feeling and heart. And mm-hmm. that's when we really touch the true essence of ourselves. And so if this woman maybe were to go to Point Lobos or to Big Sur and, or up into Santa Cruz Redwoods and just sit in nature and let herself be quiet, what she may find is that the stillness is putting her in touch with a nicer place within herself. And she may even find that she starts to cry. Mm-hmm. Because what's really so sad for me as I was listening to her is how brutal that inner voice of hers is.
Mm-hmm. Shall we say, well, I don't know other way to put it except to say the free therapies, I mean, that God gives us, so mm-hmm. to speak, animals, pets, you know, these therapies, actually accomplish one thing, and maybe you can address this from the point of view of your therapy too, and that is that they seem to create a kind of distance between the individual sense of who they are and the thing that's causing the problem, such as an inner voice. It's almost as if there's an objectivity that comes by being in a very peaceful environment, in a very natural environment, that allows you to see, oh, there's the voice again. Instead of being owned by the voice, there's a witness of the voice. And once one sees the voice, then a choice can be made. But if you think the voice is you, then it's not easy to make a choice, you know? But if there's that tiny little bit of distance, then you can say, is this voice appropriate? Is this voice based on what's happening to me now? Is this voice an ancient echo? What's going on here? Yeah. Which I think is very useful.
I think what's really helpful about that, Bill, and I agree, is that when you sit in nature, you get away from the phones and the energies of beepers and faxes and all of that technological stress, and sit in the quiet of yourself. And if you can allow yourself to really be quiet in nature, it will wrap you in a very sweet blanket. And as you sit within that, what it does is allow you to take a step out of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you identify, as you said, as the self, is really that learned personality
yeah.
of what you took in on a very unconscious level. And the unconscious is just a psychobabble word to say that at a very early, early age, before the age of 5 or 8, we take in at a very core level our sense of self and the way the world sees us. And it's very hard to step out of that once it's laid in place. And so you have to unlearn the learned personality. And what you do when you sit in the woods is you get a little step aside and go, oh, that's not all of really who I am. And as you said, you get that little bit of space that says, there may be more to me than this. And that's where when you start to see that, or certainly what I see as a therapist is that a lot of people bump their heads against that learned personality so much they go, I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want to have these relationships anymore. I don't want to sabotage myself anymore. I want to appreciate me and find others who do.